Morning and look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And after you find Luke chapter 2, I want you to find Matthew chapter 11. So Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 11. So Luke chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you again, Lord, for the peace that you have brought into this world through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, what a glorious night that must have been. Fathers, the angels appeared, and the shepherds were afraid, but they heard, fear not. Something that the Lord Jesus often said to his disciples and to others, fear not. Lord, I ask that you would this morning, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, you would guide us. Lord, I believe that you are guiding. I believe, Lord, that you have changed things up for a reason. I pray, Father, that, Lord, you would draw us unto you. I pray, Lord, that you would establish my thoughts. Lord, you fill my mouth with the words to speak, Lord, guiding my heart. Father, I ask that you would, Lord, help us to see that there is hope in Jesus Christ, and there is peace that passes all understanding through having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would glorify yourself, as that is our, Lord, that's our desire, for Christ to be lifted up, for you to be glorified. Father, I thank you for the piano specials that have been played, for the songs we've sang, Lord, because it is good to be saved. It's good to know that you have salvation, not because of what you did, but because of, I say you as in us, Lord, but because of what you did for us, Father. Nothing that we could have done would have gained us the gift of salvation nor the entrance into heaven. But Father, because of your love for mankind, Lord, you sent Jesus Christ to die in our place, to be buried in a tomb and to rise again 3 days later. Father, thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, we have something to look forward to, and that is the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, would you please bless this time? For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. This morning I want to just, for a few moments, talk to us about what the angel said when they appeared unto the shepherds. Because one angel appears and addresses the shepherds on this evening, and yet in verse 13 it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, and this is what they said and what we need to pay close attention to. We always need to pay close attention to the message of God. God often would send an angel to give a message. The angel Gabriel would come and give a message to Elizabeth, or he would come and give a message to Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, and let him know that Elizabeth was going to have a child, and obviously they would name that child John the Baptist, who would be the one that would go before Jesus preaching repentance, pointing people to Christ, and he would have that important message on the day that Jesus would come down to the Jordan River and he would point people to Jesus and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And though there were men there that tried to tempt John with jealousy and try to say, "Well, Jesus is baptizing more than you," and John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." He had a purpose from God, but his purpose was not to be the light. If you were to go back to John chapter 1 and look, John gives testimony that he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light being Jesus Christ that would come into this world. And remember, Jesus Christ always needs to increase because he is the Prince of Peace, he is the Redeemer, he is the Savior of the world, and he wants to change every single person's life. And every single person can have peace that passes all understanding. Because notice what the message of the angels was in verse 14. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Peace had come because of Jesus Christ. And peace continues to come because of Jesus Christ. And that's the message of the month of December. It's not about the gifts, and I love getting gifts because often I will go to the store and I will pick out my gift that gets wrapped and is given to me by the little girls. I already know what's in it. And that's the fun thing of being a parent. You can pick the gift that you want. But listen, the greatest gift that ever came was the Lord Jesus Christ. When the angels said, "Peace on earth," they were speaking of an inner peace that you and I, sometimes, we totally overmiss. But there are times in our life where we're drawn closer to that peace. We're drawn closer to the Lord. Sometimes it happens during a tragedy, during a difficult time in our life. But listen, it's in those moments that the Lord wants to show himself great and mighty in our life, is because he is the Prince of Peace. Even though there is turmoil in the world, even though there can be chaos in the world and unsettledness, even though tragedy strikes when we least expect it, yet the Lord Jesus Christ is right there for you because you are a child of his. He's there to comfort you. He's there to guide you. He's there to remind you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the reason for the season, and he's not to be left out. Again, there are those that are going to go through this season, through this month, with things they've faced. It may be a health issue. It may be the loss of a loved one. It may be just things going on in life. I mean, there's just an array of different things that happens in people's life. But Jesus Christ is always the answer. He's never meant for us to carry the load. You know what? Sometimes we carry the burdens of other people. As I mentioned before, there are families that are sick. But yet it does impact us because, you know what? I can understand, you know, having a family out of the state, out of the country that you would like to be there for, but you can't be there physically for them. But through prayer, we can be there for them. And sometimes we carry that burden or that weight of wanting to be there, wanting to help in any way that we can. And when we can't, that's a heavy weight on us. And I want you to go to Matthew chapter 11, because when the angels said, "Peace on earth," I want you to think about what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, when you look at verses 28 through 30, Jesus is addressing those in his day during his ministry. He is addressing the crowds that are there because everybody has burdens in their life. Everybody has weights in their life that seemingly is crushing them. They don't know how to get out from underneath the load. They don't know what to do with it. And Jesus gives us the most simplest answer, yet it's the hardest thing for us to do at times unless we fully trust that Jesus Christ is able to take the load and the burden off of us and to carry it for us. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There are just things in our life that we're laboring at. There's things that we're trying to do, things that we're trying to carry. It's too much for us, but because we have a human nature, we try to push through. We try to just do our best. We don't want to bother anybody else with it. We don't want anyone else to be cumbered about with the things that we're going through. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to give rest to the weary soul and to give peace. To give peace in the life of the one that puts their faith completely in him. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he said, "Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now listen, I understand that it will not necessarily take away the trial that we're going through, but it does lift the burden so we don't have to carry the burden of the trial. The Lord Jesus Christ will carry that burden. Notice what he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." He says, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Jesus says to take his yoke upon you. Listen, if you understand what a yoke is, a yoke was used at least in the day of Christ, and even in farming, it's used to attach two animals together to pull a load. To pull a load. But often, When a farmer is trying to break in a new cow or a new oxen, they will yoke up the new one with an experienced one so it can learn to go in the same direction they're supposed to go. They'll learn by the experienced oxen what they're supposed to do. And they'll buck up against it. They'll try to go a different direction, but they learn because one of them is just steady and going the direction they're supposed to go. The other one learns to do just that. When Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," he wants us to learn to trust him. Because listen, when tragedy happens in your life, when difficulty comes and trials come, the tendency is not to get closer to Christ, but it's to go away from Christ and to try to do it in your own way. Now, that's not the case with everybody. But if we have already learned to walk with Christ, if we've already learned to cast our cares upon him, to trust him, to follow him, then we're the one that we can help somebody else to learn to do that. We don't want to be the one that's kind of resisting and fighting what Christ wants. Because listen, notice, look at the words of Christ. There is one person that you can trust every single word that he says, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can trust every word he says, and he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Again, when you think about a yoke, it doesn't make sense. But you know what? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 sometimes don't make sense if you don't know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. In fact, if you'll keep a finger in Matthew, but go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. The Lord Jesus came the first time to bring peace into the lives of people. I mean, he spent time with people. There were people that others would not spend time with. The Pharisees often were disgusted at what Jesus did and who Jesus ate with. When Jesus would sit down and eat with sinners, as the Bible calls them, they were the ones that the religious rulers did not eat with, did not associate with. When a woman would come into Jesus' presence and would come and break open an alabaster box and pour the ointment on his head and on his feet, and cry so much that the Bible says she washed his feet with her tears and then dried his feet with her own hair. The Bible records that those religious rulers that were there looked and said, if he knew who touched him, he wouldn't allow it. Jesus knew her lifestyle. He knew her background. But he looked past that because he saw a soul. He saw someone who had a heart and understood. She came and understood that Jesus was the Savior. Understand, Jesus was not somebody that would turn anybody away. In fact, he would go out of his way to go talk to a Samaritan woman that the Jews would not even walk through their city because there was such disdain for the Samaritans among the Jews. But Jesus purposely went to a place, sat down by Jacob's well, waited for this Samaritan woman to come out and introduced her to the living water. Because she came out to get water for her thirsty flesh, for her mouth that was dry, and she was craving this water that she just has to keep going after and after. But Jesus said, told her, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask of me for living water. And Jesus came to give peace in the soul. And he does give peace in the life. Again, I know there are testimonies, and I'll, you know, as much as Teresa wants to, I will let her in a few minutes just give testimony if she feels like it, just how God has helped her in this time. Because listen, Jesus Christ is your greatest hope. Jesus Christ is your greatest peace. This past week I was thinking, you know what? Where there seems to be no hope, there is hope. Because Jesus Christ is always there. And sometimes we look at difficulties, we look at situations, we think, you know, there's no hope. But there is hope. Because Jesus Christ brought the hope. In Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And notice who the Bible says. It says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Because we don't always understand what's going on in my life. But we do understand that Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Listen, it doesn't matter what we're facing in life. Jesus is the answer. And I know there's a saying that goes around that Jesus is the reason for the season, Christmas season. But listen, more than that, he's the answer for everything in life. He is the answer in everything in life. Often, again, he would tell his disciples, fear not, peace be unto you. Remember, they were on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm, and Jesus comes walking on the water, and they were afraid because they're in the midst of a storm. They see Jesus walking in the water, but they don't know it's him at first. And Jesus has to say, peace. He says, be not afraid. It is I. And obviously, Peter walks on water because he put his faith in Christ, and Jesus said, come, because Peter said, if it's you, bid me to come out. Even in the midst of a storm, we can find the comfort and peace we need because that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to bring peace into your life. And yet, we have to want it. We have to come to him. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is it that you may be toiling over today? What is it that it's occupying your mind the most? What is it that may keep you up at night because you're wrestling over it, or it's the first thing you're thinking about when you wake up in the morning? Whatever it is, the Lord wants to take that burden away. The Lord wants to take that burden so that you have a lighter load, so that you have rest unto your soul. Again, there are many that are facing difficulties this time of year, again, that will go through the holidays without a loved one, without a job. But listen, whatever it is that we go without, may it never be that we're going without the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that can carry you through those moments. He's the one that doesn't just carry you through the moments of hard times, but he's there even in the good times. Because you know what? Every moment with the Lord is a good time because he came into your life specifically to bring peace, to bring comfort, and to help you in time of need and to show you that he is a God who cares, a God who loves you, a God who's always there, and a God who, listen, went out of his way for you. Now, I've had people in my lifetime go out of their way to do things for me that I am grateful for. And you probably have had people to go out of their way for you at times. And there's probably been times in your life that you were the person going out of the way to help somebody else. Even though it may have taken some time out of your day, it may have cost you some money to do something for somebody, but you did it because you wanted to. You did it because you wanted to help the burden that was in their life. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming down from his glory, coming down from his throne, being born, being laid in a manger, which is a feeding trough, in a stable, allowing himself to be in that low of a state, the creator of the universe allowing himself to become a child, to become a baby, to experience life like we experience it. I mean, think about that. God the Creator, our Heavenly Father, he could have just showed up on the streets of Jerusalem and proclaimed who he was. But instead, he came to be rejected. He came to give people a chance. He came to show that he was God by all the healings he did. He healed people. He raised the dead. He fed thousands of people with just a few fish and a couple loaves of bread. Not once, but twice he did that. He calmed the storms. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He did things that no human can do or ever did to show who he was. And you know what? That's great and wonderful. That's great and wonderful. Again, there's times in my life where I would just love to be able to see Jesus and the things that he did. Raising Jairus' daughter off her deathbed. Calling out to Lazarus when Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. He had been dead for 4 days, and he cries out, "Lazarus, come forth." And he comes out alive because the giver of life gave him that life back. He raised him from the dead. I mean, there's things like, man, that's awesome. That's awesome to see Jesus go into the temple and call a man over to him whose hand is withered. And ask the Pharisees, is it good or evil to do good on the Lord's day? And without touching the man, he simply says, "Stretch forth your hand." And the man stretched it out, and the Bible says it was healed completely. And there were times where Jesus would touch a leper. Nobody else would touch someone who had leprosy, a disease that's incurable. A disease that nobody wanted to get. And in fact, those that had leprosy were outcasts. They had to live outside the city. Nobody wanted to be around them. But when a man that had leprosy came to Jesus, the Bible records that he touched the man. He put his loving hands upon the man and healed him of his leprosy. Now, miracles are wonderful. But the greatest miracle is the Lord Jesus Christ coming into a life, giving that gift of salvation because that person has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And they now have the peace of God that passeth all understanding in their life every day. Now, there are moments where we forget that we have the greatest gift. We forget the one that we can turn to get the comfort, to get the direction. And yet the Holy Spirit is always trying to draw us back unto the Lord, trying to point us back to Christ and remind us, listen, your Creator, your Savior, your Redeemer wants you to walk with him so your load is lighter because he's the one carrying it. I don't know of too many people, again, Those that are loving, those that love, will do the best they can to help somebody. But only Jesus Christ can carry the load of sin. Only He can carry, and even take this, take the load off of your mind. Take the load off of your back. Now, He died for our sins. All of sin was poured out on Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He paid for our sin. He does not want us to be crushed under the load of guilt, under the load of depression, under the load of failure. Again, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy." The devil wants to crush people's lives. He wants to rob people of peace. He wants to rob people of relationship with God. But Jesus said in that same statement, "But I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly." Only Jesus Christ can do that because He is the Prince of Peace. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Again, I don't know who or what may be struggling with things this morning, things that may be plaguing your mind. And I'm not saying that anything in your life is not real. Difficulties are real. Things we face in life are real. But there is one, again, that wants to carry the load as He walks with us through this life. We're on a journey. And our journey is going to end at the throne of God. We're going to end our journey in heaven for eternity because He's given us the gift of salvation because we put our faith and trust in Him. But along this life's journey, He wants us to trust Him at every turn. He wants us to trust Him at every pitfall we come to, every brick wall we come to. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to look to Him. He wants us to walk with Him and let Him carry the load. Whatever it is that may be on your mind this morning or may be weighing heavy upon you, whether now or this coming week or this throughout the month, remember the words of Christ, your Lord and Savior. "Come unto me. Come unto me, and all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." He's the only one that can give rest unto the soul. He's the only one that can truly fill each of us completely with His peace. One thing I'm reminded of in the book of Psalms is that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. The more time we spend with the Lord in His word and in prayer, we do find joy. We do find comfort, and we're reminded of the greatest gift that you and I have ever received, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is always there, always wanting to help you, always wanting to remind you of His love, always wanting you and myself to remember that He is your Heavenly Father. He is your Redeemer. He is your Savior. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 as we end. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to see these words, because we are in a season of gift giving. And obviously, God gave the greatest gift because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to look at the last verse, verse 15. "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And then look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." You know what? God's gift is a gift that keeps on giving.
Gifts that we receive by people, they wear out at some time. And sometimes we just get tired of them before they wear out. We're just like, we're tired of whatever it is. I don't know, probably kids are more notorious for that. Again, I remember being a kid and begging my mom for certain things for Christmas, and once I got it, okay, I got it. I mean, I wanted it, I got it, but then it was like, you know, a couple of days it was like nothing and got lost in the toy box or in the closet somewhere. But things that you value, things that mean something to you, you take more care of it. You think more about it. Especially if it's somebody that you love that has given you something. I've got a few things in my possession that were my grandfather's. I've got the last pocket watch that he had. I've got his last knife that he had. I have two of his Bibles that he had. There are things that are near and dear to me, reminds me of him, because again, I can remember him having the pocket watch and always pulling it out, looking at it. I can remember him always taking this knife out and just whittling on wood and making things. I mean, he would make cabins, he would make lamps. He was just good at working with his hands. But I always saw him at some point in the day sitting in his recliner next to the window, Bible open, reading it. And just, it always struck me. I never asked him any questions, but I just remember always seeing him doing that. So, I mean, these things I have remind me of him and remind me of the times I had with him, times I miss. But you think about the gift that the Lord's given each and every one of us, Jesus Christ. Again, I have artifacts that remind me of the love of my grandfather. But the love of Jesus Christ goes beyond the love of my grandfather. Because the Lord used what I saw in my grandfather to help draw me unto Christ. So when you think about verse 57 of 1 Corinthians 15, let's even back up if you would. Let's back up to verse 55. Because we understand these verses, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've accepted the gift that God gave through Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation. When you read these verses, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That gift that you have received of the Lord, not because of any good works you did, not because of being baptized, not because of being faithful in a church or doing anything, but because of the finished work of Christ, because of putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He did. That's the greatest gift you and I will ever receive, and any person ever receive, because it's a gift that keeps on giving. What you need, when you need, the peace, the comfort, the grace, the love, it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I do care what people go through in their life. I pray for people that I know, for things in their life. But Jesus Christ is the answer. Where there seems to be no hope, there is hope. Never lose hope on anybody that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, because as long as they're breathing, there's still hope for them to come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you might just be the very one that God wants to use, because they see Christ in you. They see that fact that you have a peace in you that they don't understand. But how can we show that to them? Allowing our life to shine. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your life so shine, or let your light so shine. Why? So men will see your good works. They'll see Christ working in your life, so that they'll glorify God. Again, this is the greatest time of year to give gifts. It's the greatest time of year to show people the love of Christ. But again, let's not forget that Jesus is the greatest gift. And people do need peace. People need comfort. People need to know that, you know what, there is a God in heaven who does love them. There's a God in heaven who cares so much about them that Jesus Christ died for them. So don't ever forget, you were died for. Your sins have been paid for. But there's somebody in your life that the Lord wants you to show them Jesus Christ. There's somebody in your life that the Lord even wants you to speak to them and let them know that there's a God in heaven that loves you.